biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. Pastor Rock, thank you for being here again. And I have a topic I'd love to bring up. It seems kind of elementary, but I think it is a little more in-depth than the first glance. I was reading in 1 Peter this week, and the verse that stuck out to me was to humble myself before the Lord. And my thought was, you know, I'm a pretty humble guy, but then the thought that followed was, boy, that's not a very humble statement.
Yeah. So, or at least I was till I thought that.
Huh? Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what is Scripture talking about with humility like this?
Humility is often misunderstood, and it's increasingly hard to find.
Hard to find, right?
Well, hard to find in this very narcissistic culture. Some people, when they think humility, they have the mistaken idea that the humble person is the person who puts themselves down. The person who can't accept a compliment. The person who's always sort of, aw, shucks, I'm not very good. No, I could never really do that. No, if you knew me, you wouldn't think very highly of me.
Right.
But putting yourself down is not humility. Putting yourself down can be indicative of several things. It can be indicative of pride. Strange as that may sound,
that is
because
strange.
People can take pride in the fact that they put themselves down.
Right.
Look how noble I am.
Yeah,
I put myself down. Look how transparent and authentic I am.
Right.
So it can be just a different form of pride presenting itself in a public setting. Putting yourself down can be indicative of very poor, unhealthy self-esteem.
Right.
It can be indicative of a damaged soul. Somebody who's been abused. Mm. Somebody who's been betrayed. And somebody who has allowed the evil done to them to shape their image of who they are. See, and the evil done to us doesn't determine who we are.
That's right.
It says something about the person who did the evil to us.
Right.
So putting yourself down is not humility. Another thing, putting yourself down can be just a failed attempt at appearing pious. Hmm. Look how humble I am.
Right.
I put myself down.
Right.
Look how godly I am. You know, I can't accept a compliment. So humility is not putting yourself down. Putting yourself down is really an insult to God, because God created you, and to use the old expression, God don't make no junk.
That's right.
You were created by a God who is borderline genius. You are God's artistic expression. You are crafted in His image.
That's right.
So when you put yourself down, you're really insulting the artist and the creator. You're insulting God Himself. So it's not a spiritual exercise. And humility is not putting yourself down. What is humility? Humility is simply thinking accurately about God and about yourself. Huh. It's the best definition of humility that I could suggest. It's thinking accurately about God and yourself. Or to put it differently, it's thinking about God the way God thinks about God, and it's thinking about you the way God thinks about you.
Wow.
Humility, if I had to boil it down to two words, could be defined as right thinking.
Hmm.
It's the opposite of wrong thinking.
Right.
Wrong thinking about God and wrong thinking about yourself. When humanity questions the existence of God or allows that God exists but suggests that he must be a cruel creature, they are thinking wrongly about God. And rather than being humble, they are acting arrogantly.
Right.
When you, as a human being, suggest that the human race is nothing more than the accidental product of unthinking natural forces.
Right.
You are diminishing the value of humanity. And that's not humility, that's arrogance. It's the assumption that you know more about how we got here than God does. But you're not thinking accurately about who humanity is. When you suggest that we are in this universe alone, that there is no God, and that we can solve the problems that we face in the world and in ourselves and in society, that's not humility, that's arrogance, because you're not thinking correctly about man.
Right.
Man in this fallen world is damaged goods. Man is broken. We cannot fix all the things that ail us. And we've certainly been given a long enough sample opportunity to be able to make that statement.
Right.
So humility is thinking accurately about God, thinking accurately about myself, and by extension, then trusting everything I know about myself to everything I know about God.
Amen.
I don't think too highly of myself, and I don't think too lowly of myself. I don't think too lowly of God, and you certainly can't think too highly of God. That's humility. It means reality is in focus. I'm seeing things as they are, and I'm seeing things in the right perspective.
Right.
I know there are things that only God can do. I know there are things that I must do and am responsible to do. I know that God makes no junk, and that is his creation. I have created value. But
that's right.
I also know I'm not the creator, and my value is not greater than his. My value derives from him.
That's right.
Humility means I know God has all the answers, I don't. I know God can fix things, I can't. But again, I also know, being created in his image, I can think, I can will, I can do. And if I bring those capacities and surrender them to him, he can use them far beyond anything I can imagine. So it is right thinking. So, for example, on a Sunday morning, if somebody passing by me, shaking my hand after the service ends, says, "Pastor, that was a great pass, a great sermon." I don't say, "Oh, no, that wasn't me. That was the Lord," you know.
Yeah.
I say thank you.
Right.
I say thank you because I know that apart from God, I would never be able to understand Scripture, let alone teach it and preach it.
Right.
That I only understand it because he has opened the eyes of my understanding, that the natural man can't comprehend the things of God. To him, they are foolishness.
That's right.
I know that. So when I say thank you, that doesn't mean I'm not being humble, that I'm thinking highly of myself. It means I understand who God is and who I am, and that apart from him, I can do nothing. But I don't need to articulate that every time people say, "Nice job."
Right, exactly.
If, on the other hand, I took that and began to think of myself as all that, even if I said, "Oh, thank you, but, you know, apart from God, I might not be humble, even though I'm using the language of humility."
Right, exactly.
So it's right thinking. It's not self-deprecation, not denying your gifts. You know, if somebody says, "You're a really good musician," well, if you know, that's because God gave you that ability. And if you're using that ability for the glory of God, you don't need to say, "Oh, no, I'm really actually a pretty crappy musician."
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not humility. That's lying. If somebody says you're a really good musician, you could say, "Thank you, and all glory be to the Lord."
That's right. That's right.
Because that says you're thinking rightly about God and about yourself.
Right.
So that's all humility is, right thinking about God and about yourself. You know who God is, and you know who you are.
That's right.
And you know they aren't synonymous.
Yeah.
You aren't God, and he's not you.
Right.
And then you look at life through that dual lens of seeing God accurately and seeing yourself accurately.
That's humility.
That's humility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you don't think too highly of yourself. You don't assume too much about yourself. You don't take on more than you're capable of. And you don't take the credit for things that you know only God could do.
That's right. Something you said earlier on in the last few minutes that we have about understanding that God understands who we are, but a lot of times we don't understand who we are in God's sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we would empty a lot of counseling sessions if we understood that correctly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, people who have been abused physically, sexually, emotionally, or spiritually have a very hard time believing that God loves them, and that's a tragedy.
And it's understandable.
It's understandable.
Yeah,
don't blame the victim.
Right.
But the ultimate cure is for them to see themselves as God sees them.
Right.
And God doesn't see the victim of sexual abuse as being somehow inherently evil and therefore deserving of the hideous thing that happened to them.
That's right. That's right.
God sees them as somebody brought into the world as a beautiful expression of his creative genius and his love, who should have never experienced that hideous evil.
Right.
And when they can begin to accept, "This didn't happen to me with cause."
Right.
"But this happened to me because I live in a fallen world full of evil."
That's right.
Well, then they're on their way to their recovery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, humility in a very indirect but very real sense has a lot to do with emotional and spiritual recovery.
Right. And it really would. I mean, I think for us to understand how God sees us is for any believer.
Really. I mean, you could take almost any human problem, and humility is going to be key to recovery. For example, if a person is very controlling.
Right.
Why are they controlling? Because they're insecure.
That's right.
And if they're insecure, they have some serious doubts about God's ability to take care of them.
That's right.
Well, if they can get a hold of accurate thinking about a God they can trust, and accurate thinking about, I don't have to control everything, God's got my back.
Amen.
Then they don't need to be controlling anymore.
That's right.
So humility is key to dealing with the tendency to be a controlling person. And I think you could look at anything.
Right, and apply that, sure.
And fly that. Take lust. At the heart of lust, I think there's always some insecurity that I'm somehow incomplete unless I experience this or can do this.
Right.
Or experience it now. Well, again, if you understand who God is and who you are, you don't feel that need.
That's right.
So humility is key to really everything God's doing in our life, which is why Scripture says God gives grace to the humble,
right,
but resists
the proud.
The proud.
Yeah.
What else could he do?
Yeah.
If I'm thinking wrong about him and myself, he can't do anything for me.
That's right. Exactly right.
If I'm thinking right about him and myself, that opens the conduits of his grace.
That's right. Amen. You handcuff him when you don't think rightly.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not that he couldn't, it's that we wouldn't receive it.
Yeah, and you can't receive it. You can't see it.
See, why does God resist the proud? Because the proud resist everything that God has for them.
Right.
That is the only hope of their recovery.
That's right. Boy, that's amazing. Humility's huge, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's, again, a broken and a contrite spirit.
Yeah.
The brokenness doesn't mean I think I'm garbage. Brokenness means I know I'm broken.
You realize.
I'm right. Broken.
Right.
Doesn't mean I was broken when God made me, but it means I know I'm broken now and I need somebody bigger than me to fix me.
That's right.
And that's so again, brokenness doesn't mean, oh, I'm crap. I'm the worst thing that was ever created.
Right.
God had an off day when he made me. No, no, no. Brokenness means I'm created in God's image.
That's right.
But that image has been damaged.
Uh-huh.
And I need to come to the only one who can restore it.
Amen. Man, that's powerful.
So humility's big.
It is big.
It's the starting point.
Thinking rightly about God.
I mean, look, you can't even come into the kingdom of God if you don't repent. Well, at the basis of repentance is recognition of God.
That's right.
And myself.
That you need a Savior.
I'm not him.
Yeah.
And I need him.
That's right.
So I need to repent of living without him. Humility births repentance, and repentance births the new birth. You can't enter the kingdom without humility, and you can't walk in the fullness of the Spirit without humility.
I didn't realize it was that packed.
It's all throughout Scripture. And here's the neat thing. When God calls us to humility, he's not asking us to do something he himself wasn't willing to do, because Jesus humbled himself, being made in the likeness of sinful flesh, being born of a woman, being born under the law.
That's right.
See, but he humbled himself because nobody could ever humble God.
That's right. That's right.
But Jesus humbled himself for us.
Amen.
But again, if you understand what humility is,
yeah,
you don't resist it.
Right. Why would you want to resist it?
It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
Life works when I know who God is and I know who I am. Amen. And I know the difference.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.